Now, when you're lucky enough to go out for a meal or to order takeaway, how often do you think about those ingredients and how close perhaps they were grown or harvested to where you're buying your meal or your food? Talking about food miles and carbon footprint, maybe you create most of your meals from your garden. Many of you do. This half hour, we're going to Aranda to spend a bit of time with one particular Canberra business, 2 Before 10, that has been working very hard in recent years to grow more of the key ingredients for its menu, not just at Aranda, but right around the ACT. They have several outlets from the Aranda Gardens, so the space around 2 Before 10. It's not a vast space. It's a pretty big space, but you know, it's not a conventional farm size operation, but what they've been able to achieve by just converting a bit of the car parking area and the full perimeter, the footprint around the building, is quite extraordinary. They're now supplying more than 75% of their core ingredients on the menu at Aranda from those gardens that they've nurtured around the building. And those gardens are also supporting up to 60% of the ingredients on the menu across their other four sites in the ACT. It's a really incredible achievement. We're going to meet one of the former head chefs from their Tuggeranong branch who was absolutely thrilled to be able to take a little career turn and become their head gardener at Aranda and learn more about growing food locally, the sort of food that he used to cook with, obviously, in the Tuggeranong kitchen, and in particular, his role nurturing mushrooms at Aranda. We're also going to spend time with Ingrid Lee, who's really passionate about reducing food miles and reducing the carbon footprint and really putting so much local produce on the menu across the business in Canberra.
Through lockdown, we have transformed this top section of the car park into raised veggie beds. We've been beavering away planting. We got a bunch of beautiful seedlings from a grower in Yass, and we've put those in, and the production level has been incredible. Cauliflower, we've got silver beet, rainbow chard, leeks, parsley, coriander, and an assortment of lettuce, oak, butter lettuce, and also cos.
Ingrid, how have you constructed these raised beds? They look very professional.
Thank you. Chris Dennis and Tim Knights worked very hard on these. They are concrete sleepers that have been slotted together into metal frames and then filled with a vegetable mix that came from Canberra sand and gravel.
It looks like a very deep mix, Ingrid, too. Like you've obviously put a lot of work into the soil.
Yeah, so it's 450 mils deep. It was quite a quantity of soil, quite a number of barrow loads, quite a few saw backs and shoulders.
And all carefully created into sort of raised bed areas as well for planting?
Yeah, so we've got furrows. It's going to be a wet summer again like we had last year. So we're just trying to keep things elevated so when we do get a lot of rain, things aren't rotting, and it also helps to keep the snails away from the base of lettuce and stuff.
And there's a few older style hoses going through the beds that we might remember perhaps from the 1980s. Looks like drip irrigation perhaps here on the hotter days.
We are not that sophisticated at this point. We do hope to get a better watering system in, but at the moment we're just currently running soaker hoses. We're not having to water too much at the moment, as most gardeners probably know. There's a lot of rain through Canberra. Yeah, there probably will be throughout the summer as well. So,
Ingrid, you've got to be just delighted with what you've achieved here because it looks fantastic. The veggies just look great. They're bursting up to the sun, aren't they?
They are. And I think with the soil that went into these beds, because it hasn't sat in the earth, it came in very warm, a lot of organic matter in it, and because it's continued to sit above the earth, it's probably already sitting at a summer temperature, whereas the soil in the ground would be still warming up.
Now the whole site really, it just wraps around the former shops at Aranda, and there's just this incredible greening right around the edge of the former Aranda shops that are of course the 2 Before 10 headquarters. Fruit trees, more beds, a huge bed full of pumpkins or zucchinis?
They're zucchinis. Mm. So zucchinis, eggplant, capsicum and tomato is in that bottom bed. Along here we've got hazelnut trees, an almond tree, nectarines, a pomegranate, blueberries, a cherry tree. And then in the bed below, we've got heaps of corn and an array of berries growing, raspberries, blackberries and gooseberries.
And just pushing out onto the green space, just reclaiming the green space.
Yes, yep. That is part of our land, that corner triangle there. Yeah, and we've got fruit trees down in front near the bus stop as well. They've been a fairly new planting down there.
Every little part of land is utilised on this site.
Yes, that's the plan.
Have you got a sense of how many different species or how many different plants you're growing here? Because it looks really diverse to me.
Yeah, there is a lot growing. I think at last count there was about 31 different things that we had in the ground, including woody herbs and our soft herbs.
What's driving this this greening here at Aranda?
So when the owners took over the site roughly 7 years ago, it had been vacant for almost two decades, and the car park area and the gardens clearly required landscaping, and planting food made sense.
And so how have things expanded here over those years, and how have you been involved?
I've been working for 2 Before 10 since March 2019. I came on initially roasting coffee. My background is as a chef, and I have also gardened for most of my adult life, predominantly on the South Coast. I got involved in the gardens not long after I started, and we've put a lot of work back into regenerating the soil, feeding the soil, and figuring out what we can grow really well on the site, really well in Canberra, and in an abundance to supply our core menu.
And what have you learned there? What is working?
So the winter greens grow really well all year round. So we're growing rainbow chard, silver beet. We are growing assorted lettuce, leeks, spring onions, and mushrooms in our mushroom rooms. And those things are predominantly driving our core menu. We have three dishes on the core menu that reflect everything that we can get from the garden.
And what has been harder to grow here successfully?
I find chilies are really hard to grow. You get a good harvest through summer, but they don't last through winter unless you protect them from the frost. We struggled with tomatoes last year just due to the wetness of the summer, and the same with our zucchinis. We had quite a bit of rot on those. So this year with our tomatoes, we're going to try espaliating them, so setting them up along a trellis to try and get a little bit more airflow and space between the growth of the fruit.
And just how productive is what you've achieved here? I mean, how many kilos of product are you generating just at this Aranda site now with the expanded gardens?
I don't know exactly, but and it will vary from week to week just depending on what we can pick, but it would be supplying 75% of the core menu here at Aranda and possibly up to 60% of the core menu across our other four venues.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Is the hope to lift that even further from just this site at Aranda, or is there capacity to create more urban food gardens at other sites?
We hope to lift it further from here. It's just during lockdown we redesigned the menu to the core menu to cater for what we know we can grow well here. So it's the beginning of working that out to be more productive and to supply a greater percentage of that menu. We will also look at doing a growing partnership with possibly Banjo's Paddock and Southern Harvest. Things like onions, garlic, and potatoes that sit in the ground for a long period of time would be great to have grown for us by local gardeners.
And why is that, Ingrid?
Why is that? Because we want to really reduce the food miles, because we believe that everything we do every day matters. We used to have the Sustainable Development Goals on the wall here, and they underpin our whole philosophy around doing business. We've now reduced that down into our sort of logo, slogan, if you like to call it, because it matters. And we believe everything we do every day matters for our people, for the environment and for our community. So reducing food miles, providing food that is locally grown, that is seasonal, that is fresh, is all part of that philosophy.
Ingrid, what kind of a difference does it make when you can grow the food for the menu so close to the restaurant, to the kitchen? Have you got a sense of how you've been able to cut food miles?
Yeah, well, things are picked in the morning and they're on the menu at lunchtime. So that is incredible. And Liam pulls them out of the ground and walks them into the kitchen. And we do deliveries of coffee and our baked goods twice a week to all our other venues. So a vehicle is going to those venues anyway. And Liam picks and packs the vegetables and the fruit from the garden, and they are just coordinated to go with those deliveries as well.
How different might that be to many other commercial cafe or restaurant businesses in the ACT? I mean, where is a lot of the produce sourced when we think about food miles?
So a lot of it will be coming from the Sydney markets. There are a couple of really great local fruit and veg suppliers, but they visit the markets a couple of times a week and bring product back. And then there's things that they source that aren't even grown in Australia. So avocados aren't available all year round. There's a period of around 6 weeks where they come from Mexico. And the carbon footprint of that avocado, you would actually be better off eating a T-bone steak.
Isn't that interesting, that comparison? I look at these gardens, I'm so impressed. They're really tidy, everything's growing beautifully. I'm thinking it's a lot of work. So how do you balance up the work of the gardening and the growing with the business of actually making a profit?
Yeah, we've recently just employed Liam, who is our full-time gardener. He was the head chef down at Greenway, so he has a culinary background as well, which is great in knowing what is seasonal, what can be represented on menus. So yeah, just having him involved has helped with the workload, but it's something that we all jump in and help when needed in terms of making the gardens. If there's a big lot of production picking to happen, then we'll all jump in and get involved too.
Have you had to lift the prices of what you're offering to cover the costs of growing?
We are looking at that because the food cost of fruit and vegetables is much less than any of your proteins. We sort of do a bit of a balancing act between the amount of protein represented on our menus and the food costs of our fruit and veg. And yeah, we can run vegetarian dishes at a much lower food cost than we can run protein dishes, so we seem to be able to offset it that way.
That's fantastic. So it's proving to be economical to grow a lot of the vegetables.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
What's your dream for this, Ingrid, over the next year? What more is there left to do here with this system?
Yeah, just to continue to produce quality vegetables and fruit from the site, to maximise their representation on our menus, to maximise the glut that will be coming out of the garden. So we have the urban farm that does the pickling, fermenting and preserving of the glut from the produce from the garden. So just developing more recipes and more product that will utilise our excess when it's around, and also just to have people involved in going and foraging, picking stone fruit from around the area when it's in abundance and turning that into product. And we also run a produce exchange where local growers come in and give us their glut of produce in exchange for coffee or food too. So just, I guess, just maximising everything that comes through the door, out of the garden, foraging, local growers, and not wasting any of that.
And being a real community hub by the sounds of it,
yeah,
too.
Yep.
We're seeing that this morning as people linger and look through the gardens. How do you feel when you walk through this garden?
Oh, it's amazing. It's a great place to be. It makes me happy. It makes me happy seeing people enjoy it. It's just, it's, yeah, being connected with green spaces and gardens and growing stuff is, it's life.
Executive Chef Ingrid Lee at 2 Before 10 at Aranda, and thank you to Ingrid and Liam for giving me that detailed tour of what they're doing and sharing their passions and their vision. It was so terrific to see what they've achieved there, that greening around the Aranda headquarters for 2 Before 10. And it's those stories that I want to keep bringing you this year in this time slot on Saturday Kitchen. And I would love to hear your recommendations. Maybe there's a quiet achiever in your life that you'd like to nominate. Maybe we can talk them into sharing their story. Maybe they're making a local beverage with local ingredients. Maybe they're making a food item and selling it at the markets for the first time. Maybe they're just cooking for their family and their loved ones. Maybe they stepped up in lockdown. Tell me about those people. I want to tell those stories. 0467 922 666. You can call 1300 681 666. You can email me whenever you like. CanberraWeekends@abc.net.au.
Woongarrulli Madjinoo, Saturday mornings with Adrian Francis on ABC Radio Canberra Woorajee.